Work moves fast. From emails and reports to proposals and updates, you're expected to think clearly, write confidently, and get it right the first time. And every message counts. That's where Grammarly comes in. It gives you everything you need to think, write, and finish in one place. Or anywhere you type and text. You'll never have to switch tools or tabs. Grammarly's AI agents are built for how you work and where you work, so you can find the right words, adjust your tone, and predict how your message might land before you hit send. Your ideas will get a boost while still sounding natural, credible, and just the way you want. For nearly 17 years, Grammarly has been the standard for responsible AI. It's the premier writing tool that 93% of users trust to get more work done. In a world of generic AI, don't sound like everyone else. With Grammarly, you never will. Download Grammarly for free at Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.
All teams covered. No stalking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, he's blank on Branham. Jose Jorge over there. Jose Jorge, do you know he's working very hard today?
Yeah,
I'm proud of him. I am proud of him. He's working, he worked two shifts today.
Well, you know what he's doing. He's trying to actually earn back some of the massive amounts of hours that he's taken off.
Do you do that?
Oh, yeah. I take so much time off.
Because you worked at the show from noon to 3. They're having an illness run rampant through
that
show.
To be fair, I worked 1:30 to 3.
Who worked from noon to 1:30?
Mapes and I split.
Oh, so y'all split it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wasn't that gentlemanly?
Yeah. So will you get a half comp day?
No.
Okay, good. I was hoping you didn't. Selfish reasons. All right. What are these overreactions that all these people are saying after week 9? Halfway point, by the way, of the NFL season. How about this overreaction? The Buffalo Bills, who are 5-4, will not make the playoffs.
That's an overreaction.
I think it's in play.
See, the two big ones that came to my mind when you brought up this segment.
Let's talk about Buffalo.
The Buffalo Bills were one of them.
Okay.
And I just can't see this team not making the playoffs. I think that it's fair to say they're not as good as the Bengals or the Chiefs.
Or the Texans.
And they've fallen behind the teams that were, you know, when we talk about favorites in the AFC to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. But I think that to say that their demise is coming and they're not going to make the playoffs is too big of a stretch for me, because it looks like Allen and Diggs have figured out their stuff. And Diggs is getting back to where he was in the past. And that's a big step for them. They still got to figure out their running game, but they're just too talented to not make the playoffs at all.
If the season were to end today, Buffalo would miss the playoffs. They're a half game back at 5-4. But the AFC North is going to beat up on each other. Like Baltimore, all four of those teams at the season ended today would be in the playoffs. Baltimore 7-2, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati all 5-3. But if you look at Buffalo, I agree. They're one of the top 5 talented teams in the AFC. Their schedule is not easy. Like, they have Denver and the Jets the next 2 weeks. That part is easy.
Yep.
But then they go at Philly.
That's tough.
At Kansas City.
Oof.
Home for the Cowboys. Cowboys are pretty good.
Cowboys are pretty good.
At the Chargers. That could be a play-in game.
That could be a really interesting game because, the Chargers got a lot to play for.
Now, Patriots at home, that should be a layup. But then at Miami, the final week. That's not that easy of a stretch.
Well, because the other team that I was going to bring up is Miami, and the fact they can't beat a team over 500.
That might be for the division. And so only one team gets in from that
that's
division.
That's a big game right there.
I think it's I'm not going to go as far to agree with this overreaction. I'm mostly on your side. But when you pull up the schedule, it's in play more than you would think, I believe.
My mom's reaction from the kids on for not sports takes, but on anything, when you said something like, if the season ended today, my mom's quick reaction would be, but it doesn't. So that would have been the end of the discussion in my house. But, you know, that's the thing. Von Miller's still getting acclimated. I believe he's going to continue to get better. I think that they have pieces that are still capable of playing better. But look, they've underachieved. There's no doubt about it. And I know that, you know, you've been critical of Josh Allen, and I'm still a big fan of his. But I don't think there's anywhere that I can argue that Joe Burrow isn't better than Josh Allen right now. And I know that, you know, Joe picked the Bengals to get to the Super Bowl, and they look like every bit of a better contender right now than the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
I heard this comparison today, or I saw Keith, one of our listeners, tweeted, I guess. Some national radio host compared Sean McDermott to Tom Thibodeau. that, like, he is a guy that if your organization's floundering like the Bills were, he probably can get you back to a respectable place, but he's probably not going to take you to the promised land. And that's kind of how I feel about him.
I feel like that's disrespectful to Sean McDermott. I think McDermott's been really good in Buffalo. Like, he's won double-digit games each of the last 4 years. They've had a Super Bowl contending team each of the last 4 years. Is their problem McDermott, or is their problem that Josh Allen is a walking turnover?
Well, or that the rules were such that in that shootout with Mahomes and the Chiefs that year, that it had to end the way it ended because they played their tail off.
Yeah, that was probably the closest. Yeah, that got.
But you know, and the other reason why I'll nitpick it, Joe, it's not on you, but I'll nitpick it in the fact that of the two guys, I think everyone in McDermott's locker room loves him, loves his style, and believes in him 100%. Tibbs can rub people the wrong way in a hurry because he's a dictator and he's a screamer, and that works short term to your point to get them to like playoffs and focus better. But at a certain point, it gets old.
Yeah. I don't like that comparison at all.
Don't you feel like he's on the hot seat? He's going to get fired if they miss the playoffs?
Miss the playoffs.
Who, Tibbs or McDermott? McDermott. I don't at all.
Yeah, I'm still leaning no. I don't think he gets fired if they miss the playoffs.
I think it'll be interesting. It wouldn't shock me if they fired him if they missed the playoffs.
But who do they bring? Again, it's easy to say that he could be fired, but then who do they get that upgrades him to be better?
Bobby. Bring in Bobby.
The kid from Detroit?
No, the OC Benny Johnson. The Houston Texans. Yeah. Bobby Slowick.
Ben Johnson. Yeah.
Benny Johnson would be interesting. I wouldn't want to hitch my wagon to Josh Allen, though. The Ravens will be the number one seed in the AFC playoffs.
That's another big one, right? Everybody's talking Ravens this week. Was it yesterday? Yesterday it came up, the fact that it's ridiculous that suddenly everybody is throwing the Ravens around like they're the second best team in the AFC. I don't think that the Ravens are better than the Bengals. We'll see because they're going to play and they're in the same division. But I just believe that there's a lot of overhype around the Ravens right now. Okay, OBJ got his first touchdown of the year in a blowout when they were already up 30-3. But the biggest thing that you can say about the Ravens is their defense is as advertised and better than maybe some people expected. Their defense is what they always are, a mainstay of that football team getting things done. Lamar is Lamar, and Lamar is going to win a lot of football games. But I still think they have a lot to prove. I still think that they got to figure out their running game. And I think that they have more questions to answer than the Bengals do.
They had the head-to-head against Cincinnati.
First one. They played twice.
They beat them. They won in week two whenever he wasn't healthy.
Got to beat the Chiefs.
I don't think Odell Beckham's one of the top three targets for Lamar Jackson.
I would agree with that.
You got Andrews. I like Andrews more.
You got your boy from Boston College.
Flowers, I like him more.
Yeah.
You like Rashad Bateman more.
Yeah, maybe.
Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I think it's still going to be Kansas City.
I'm interested. Actually, I'm going to bite my tongue real quick here. It's Tuesday. Fab runs tonight. Waivers run tonight. I think it's Kansas City, too.
That's a fantasy take.
Fab. Yeah, I don't want to mention a name because I'm interested in a name. I also think even if Baltimore is the best team in the AFC, I don't think they finish with the top seed because they have to run through the gauntlet of the AFC North, whereas Kansas City's schedule is a little bit softer with their division. So,
I mean, head-to-head, if you had Ravens-Chiefs, who are you taking?
I'm taking Kansas City.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm taking Kansas City.
And Kansas City's wide receiver
room
is awful.
I think Cincinnati's better too. I'm with you. Yeah. I think the Bengals are better than the Ravens. The Dolphins will flame out in the playoffs because they can't beat good teams.
Yep. See, they haven't yet.
Will they make the playoffs?
See, they have. Look, I'm anti all these people with the hot take they can't beat a better than 500 team.
They haven't.
They haven't yet, and they're 0-3. But at the same time, Mike McDaniel's a hell of a coach. They got a ton of weapons. Their defense is better than average, and I fully expect that they will beat 500 teams, and they will be better than they are right now by the end of the season. I just think there's too much talent and too good a coach to have a team flounder that badly against 500 and better teams.
What would we count as flaming out? Like first round? So wild card?
I just think if you lose in the first round,
I think they're capable of winning one.
They pull a Chargers from last year.
I think they're capable of winning one. Yeah. I think they're capable of winning one. So I guess by your definition, Joe, I'm not going to say they'll flame out. But I think it's a coin flip game in a wild card round if they make it. They might not make it. Only one AFC East team could potentially get in.
I don't know, man. I think you put them against any of the teams that would be wild cards currently.
I mean, the AFC's loaded, though.
They are.
The AFC's
ridiculous. But I think the only teams that worry me with Miami in a playoff game would be the teams we were talking about, would be Kansas City, Cincinnati, And I'd say Buffalo more than Baltimore.
I mean, that might be the playoffs, though. Like, if we let's say that Buffalo makes the playoffs over, which AFC North team do you like?
I think
less?
It comes down
Pittsburgh
to which
or Cleveland.
Team? Well, Cleveland.
Okay, so let's say Cleveland misses, Pittsburgh makes it. We'll say the Texans don't make it, Chargers don't make it. So that would be a playoff of Kansas City, Baltimore, Jacksonville, Miami, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Buffalo. Like, that's
damn,
a murderer.
That's
ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
I'm gonna agree with that one, actually. I don't think that the Dolphins will get past the wild card round.
I agree. I just think that they can't beat good teams. Like, they're frauds.
I don't think so, man.
I don't think they're frauds, but I don't think that they're capable of winning a wild card game because the AFC's loaded. So, like, maybe
I think if it's at home.
Maybe I just said the same thing.
Like, I think if it's a wild card game at home, they could.
But, like, they play Buffalo, they lose 48-20. They play the Eagles, they lose 31-17. They play the Chiefs, they lose 21-14. Like, and it was last year, too. Every time they played a good football team, they lost, with or without Tua.
Yeah.
And that was part of it last year. But when he was on the field, they didn't beat good teams. Like, they're going to run – I think they're going to make the playoffs because their schedule is easier. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think we're going to learn a lot about who they are on Black Friday, honestly, when they play the Jets. Because that's not a great team, but it's another really
good defensive team.
That's a team that they'll win by 21.
Yeah, I think they'll blow their doors off as well.
Because I wonder if it's – is it good teams or is it physical defenses?
I think it's good teams.
Plus, I mean, look, like I said, their defense isn't bad, and Zach Wilson's awful. He's probably going to he's probably going to give them all that they need to blow that game out.
They get Achane back at some point, too. That's going to – although Mostert's been a really good running back.
Yeah.
The NFC East race is over, and the Eagles have won it.
8-1 at this point. I think that they're running away and hiding from basically the rest of the NFC. After the Niners took the 3-game losing streak, it was clearly defined from the regular season standpoint who the number one seed is going to be, and the Eagles are giving you no reason to change your mind.
Yeah, I think that this is a no-brainer. I mean, they have a 2.5-game lead.
Yeah.
2.5-game lead, just beat Dallas, and it wasn't Philly. But, this one's over. The NFC East, you can hang the banner in Philly.
Honestly, I think you can make the argument just the NFC race is over.
I think the Niners will give them a run in the playoffs because they're going to...
No, for the regular
top
season.
Seed.
Oh, but the top seed is over.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they play...
So
now, they play the 49ers, so, like, I guess, they're, you know, December 3rd when they play, that game could be huge.
But they have a 2.5-game lead.
Yeah, it ain't going to...
The cushion's
not, the gap's not going to get closed that much in one game.
San Fran, they kind of stepped on their own foot these last couple
Purdy
of weeks.
Purdy got exposed a little bit, too.
He did a little bit. The Giants will select a quarterback in the first round of next year's draft.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
No.
The Giants?
No.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
How could they not?
Because I just don't think they're going to be in a position to take one. I don't think they're going to fall apart that much.
Now, you do realize that Tyrod Taylor is also probably out.
I know.
Yeah, they're playing Danny DeVito at quarterback.
So, Jones is out and Taylor's out. That means they are going to roll over and play dead, and they're to get the highest pick possible.
They're one of only five teams that have won two or fewer games.
They're donezo. They're going to be a top five. They're going to take a quarterback.
Top five, though? Is that quarterback territory? Because if you don't have
it depends on who.
If you don't have a top three pick, though, now you're probably out of that tier.
Who are your top three quarterbacks?
Well, Caleb. I'm saying top
Caleb
three picks.
And May.
Yeah, Caleb and May are going to go probably some combination of – they're going to go in the top three
picks.
Does Penix and Nix go fifth overall?
I think so.
I think they're more like mid-first round guys.
Well, I don't think they'll trade down. They'll assure that they get their best pick of the whatever's left, and then they're going to take a quarter. Regardless of where they pick, they're taking a quarter.
They're going to reach for a Daniel Jones type.
That's
again,
where then. I don't know if there's that other quarterback has not emerged as a top five guy.
Penix is like 28 years old.
Is he really old?
He's not quite that old, but yeah, he's like a 6-year senior, I think.
Him and Nix are too old to be first rounders, I think.
Nix is pretty
strong. Both of them will be first rounders.
I think
Penix will. Nix, I'm curious about.
I think he'll end up being a first rounder.
He's still a little small.
Is it Shador? Is there still a conversation?
I think he stays.
I think he stays too.
Yeah, I don't think he goes to the NFL.
I think Dad will encourage it because he's still raking in a lot of dough too with
the Big 12
NIL.
And his buzz is.
Oh, it went way down.
Off a little
way
bit.
Down. Because so did Colorado, right? We were talking about Deion in Colorado every week in the first 3 weeks of the season. Yep. Now they're just an afterthought.
We should have expected that, though. I think they've already exceeded expectations.
I agree.
Their win total was 3. They're at 4.
Yeah, they.
But expectations got blown through the roof when they started out the way they did.
Is the
I think
Linsanity,
for those that were I think those for those that were ignorant to what they were
is the Linsanity comparison fair?
I don't think so.
No,
I think
they're going to be better every single year.
Yeah, I think they'll have a good year. In the Big 12 next year.
There are going to be player after player recruiting-wise lining up to be the next guy to help that team take the next step.
Yep. Joel Blank, 7132 says, the Baltimore Ravens have beaten the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati already.
Right, that's the first. Okay.
I agree with you. Baltimore's right. running game needs improving. No J.K. Dobbins hurts the Ravens' running game. I think Baltimore can beat Cincinnati at home the second time in a couple of weeks. Football emoji, football emoji.
We know exactly that we have a couple of Ravens fans that get their feelings hurt if you don't say anything nice about them, but I'm just being honest. There's another matchup to come. The fact that the Bengals are going to be healthy. Joe Burrow wasn't exactly healthy when he was trying to do what he was trying to do early in the season. So I'll just say two words. We'll see.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. So the hot stove is going to start heating up in Major League Baseball here pretty soon. Free agency's open. There's some names linked to the Astros, some predictions of players and free agents that end up with the Astros. Do we like these names and possibilities for the Stros? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, there's a variety of different ways Apollo Men's Health can help you. But there's a variety of different things that you might be lacking where you used to be very, very strong as you go through your daily grind. And it could be everything from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom. You could have all the energy in the world previously, and now you just find that you don't have the energy after about 4 o'clock in the afternoon to do the things you used to be able to do. Maybe you're struggling to find a workout program and get in the gym. Maybe you just need to lose weight and don't know if you can get to the gym. They have solutions to all those problems and so many more at Apollo Men's Health. Go to ApolloMH.com right now and see all the services they offer. See if there might be a couple that might be able to benefit you. If there are, sign up for a first appointment right there online. Most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. And then let the process go from there. Go in and tell them where you're lacking. Tell them where you'd like to have some help. They'll put a program together that works. They'll get you the results that you need. It's as easy as going there and saying, hey, look, I need more energy. Well, that could be a B12 shot, or that could be everything as extensive as hormone therapy for both men and women. They offer it, and there are men and women in the lobby every single day and reaping the benefits of more energy thanks to hormone therapy and the variety of different ways that it can be administered. If you want to get on a workout program, start with a body composition analysis so they can chart your progress. When your body fat goes down, your muscle mass goes up, and your important numbers are making sense, you are making progress, whether you feel it in the gym or not, and it'll give you motivation to continue. You want to recover quicker after going to the gym? HGH peptide therapy. When I said lose weight and not have to go to the gym, new FDA-approved semi-glutide is available at Apollo Men's Health. You don't have to go to the gym at all. You could lose up to 6 pounds every week. It's amazing, and it's because they care about their patients. Check them out today and mention my name, Joel Blank. You can say you get a free B12 shot or a body composition analysis on your first official visit, but you can't get started and get going if you don't stop in. Go to the website, set up an appointment, and check.
Jeremy Brenham.
We'll get to the Stros hot stove in a moment. Lamont says, aren't we forgetting the elephant in the room when it comes to the Ravens? We're only a matter of weeks away before Lamar Jackson suffers his annual season-ending injury. Why would Cody be a black cloud when it comes to the Ravens?
No, elephant in the room. Remember,
oh, black elephant in the room, yeah.
Because he's he's one of the big boys.
But why is that? I'm just synonymous with Baltimore.
No, it's not. It's just when we forget an elephant in the room, that's the first thought that crosses my mind.
Lamar is prone to injury. 713-780-3776. Out to the HRMP listener line, Daniel. Daniel, you're in the hive of the bees. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, I just want to say, you're forgetting something about the Ravens.
We lost
Daniel. You. We can't hear you.
We lost you, Daniel.
Call back. Right. We have a better connection.
We have an understudy for a Ravens call in Houston. 713.
What did he say?
I don't know. I have no idea. I couldn't hear him. Could you hear him, Joe? I'm hard of hearing, though. We've known that.
I think everybody that has worked in radio like we have for as long as we have gets hard hearing.
I think I'm worse than you.
I think you're right.
I'm worse than Joe. So y'all had a better chance of hearing than I did. And y'all didn't hear?
No.
Okay. 713-780-3776.
You couldn't figure out our S2D2.
I couldn't. I was lost there.
You needed an interpreter for that.
I felt like the person that was looking at that dress and trying to say if it's gold or blue.
Uh-huh.
Remember? That's how I felt every
you
time.
Said purple?
Yeah, I was orange. 713-780-3776. Out to the HRP listener line for Angelo. You're in the hive of the bees. What's up?
So you said the Ravens have an unproven rushing attack, but they currently lead the league in rushing touchdowns. So I was just wondering what that was about.
Because they've lost so many quality running backs. Look, and Lamar does a lot to enhance the running game, whether he wants to run or not. But when you get to playoff football, it's a different story. I'm not taking anything away from them, but I think that they're still figuring out and being more consistent in their running attack as it relates to playoff football. How's that?
I like the answer, but I think he trumped you. I think he trumped you. He had a little. He threw a little nugget in there. He threw a truth bomb at you.
That's fine. But I mean, look, losing Dobbins and you know, the setbacks that they've had to deal with, they're a run first football team, and they like to play smash mouth running football. They're also, with a new offensive coordinator, slinging it around the yard a little bit more to try and keep Lamar from getting hurt, to your point. But I think that there's still things to figure out and running backs to be.
Here's the thing.
I thought it was weird that he used
touchdowns.
Yeah, but they're number one in the NFL in yards per game.
I mean,
running
Gus Edwards is 15th in the NFL.
I didn't realize that either. I knew that they were top 10. I didn't know they were one.
Yeah, but like the rushing attack, when we're talking about it, we're talking about the running backs, and Gus Edwards is 15th. Yes, he has a lot of 1 and 2 yard touchdowns, but like that doesn't mean Jamal Williams was a good running back last year in the NFL.
I mean, I don't know how you can argue this, though. They have the number one rushing attack in the NFL. Yeah, like, how can you argue that?
Yeah, but our point was running backs, that they need help with the running backs.
See, I think I'm on Angelo's side here. Like, they lead the NFL in rushing yards. I don't think you can criticize their ability to run.
Well, I think JMarsh82 on Twitch is a Ravens fan. And he said, they're paper champs every year. They choke in the playoffs. I want to see something different when it comes to winning in the playoffs. And I think that's what I'm kind of leaning towards, which is they still got to find who their true bell cow is going to be running the football. But that's not what they want to do anyway. They want to pass the ball more.
Yeah, they that was the thought, but they lead the NFL in running. 713-780-3776.
Well played, though, Angelo. I'll give you credit for coming back.
I'm just a little – now, here's the nitpick that I have on Angelo. Why did he go rushing touchdowns and not that they lead the league in rushing per game? That was the interesting thing to me. Astros, hot stove. A few names that have been predicted to go to the Astros in free agency. A couple of different publications playing this game. The first one's The Athletic, where they kind of pulled a bunch of different people that work for The Athletic. Tommy Pham is mentioned the Astros are mentioned as a potential fit for Tommy Pham. They list the salary for Tommy Pham, a little big, $10.5 million for 1 year. Would you be interested in that?
No.
I wanted Tommy Pham in the Verlander trade.
Well, but then Tommy Pham, who really underachieved grossly with the Mets.
No, he was pretty good. He was pretty good for the Mets.
Got cut free, and then when Arizona picked him up.
Well, they traded him for a very, very fringe prospect.
Yeah, and he played well with Arizona, but I could live without Tommy Pham in my lineup.
I would have liked him more at the deadline than this offseason. I thought it would have been a good, hey, yes, we'll give you the prospects that you really, really want, but how about you throw in Tommy Pham, who you're about to give away anyways? I thought that Dana Brown should have got him as a throw-in. Offseason, I think you can do better.
I think you can,
too. Tommy Pham, although the Astros are going to be kind of handcuffed with their financial situation.
Small need basis in the playoffs. He stepped up, had good at-bats, had some good games. That's fine. But over the 162, I think Tommy Pham's best days are behind him. I don't think that Tommy Pham is that big of an upgrade over what you already got.
I think he's an upgrade. But
Chaz McCormick?
Well, no, I'd play Chaz in center, and I'd play Pham in left. There'd be an offensive lineup. The other one that the Athletic mentions, they only mentioned two, was Brandon Belt, a 36-year-old first baseman DH. They mentioned the best fit, Houston. They project him at 1 year, $12 million.
Nope.
This is a glorified John Singleton.
Yeah, and he's way on the backside of his career. He's on the back nine, and he's playing probably the 16th hole.
I think he's a Lufkin kid.
That's great.
But like,
he can visit in the offseason.
What's the fit?
I guess left-handed bat off the bench. But
and,
it seems
and he
high.
Plays first base DH.
I think the idea is that you're – I think if I'm making the case here, and I'm not because I don't want this at all. Let's make that known. I think the case here is you're on your left fielder and Brandon Belt your DH.
Yeah, I think that's what that's based on because it's the only thing that makes logical sense.
I don't think
is
it's
that
an
he's
upgrade.
Your DH.
I think it's an upgrade. I'm sitting here defending Brandon Belt, who I want nothing to do with.
Yeah, right.
But if the idea is you're playing Yordan in left field, Brandon Belt's going to get at-bats instead of Jake Meyers.
Okay, fine. But if we're doing that, then I can get Michael Brantley at a very, very cheap deal to get hurt but still be serviceable and do the exact same thing for a lot less money.
Maybe, unless he retires. I don't want Brandon Belt, so I don't want to stick up for Brandon Belt anymore. It feels gross, even though he's a Texan. Okay, MLB trade rumors list two other free agents that they predict to the Astros. Jorge Soler, 3 years, $45 million. That's pretty pricey. That's $15 million
a year. Pricey, but he interests me.
Me too. You add some thunder to this lineup.
Boy, do you.
A guy who can hit 30 home runs. There is some question if he's good enough defensively to play in the outfield for you. So now you're looking at a situation where you have two kind of left field DH types between he and Yordan. I'm running him out at left field, let him hit 30, 35 home runs.
No question about it. I'd take, the money's going to absolutely alter the decision, it'll be a big influencer in what I would be willing to do. I'd love to see that big bat in the lineup with another big bat like Yordan and really make everybody deal with it.
Joe, how do you feel about that one?
If they're going to make Yordan play left field, then just do it, and Soler's great.
I
want Yordan in left versus Soler. He's got a gun, but when he came up with the Cubs.
I'm not saying he's good.
Morty's got a gun, too.
I'm not saying that Soler's not good in left field.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he is good in left field. I'm saying that I will trade the defense for the health and safety of Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, and the extra boom in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, in this case, you have them both in the lineup. It's which one's playing left field. I'm playing the lesser defender if Soler's a lesser defender than Yordan because I want to keep Yordan safe.
You could sell me. I'd be fine with Soler even at that price.
Now, all of these are going to be, will Jim Crane be willing to pay the luxury tax? Because all of these would send the Astros into the luxury tax. So that's kind of question number one, but it's fun to talk about. The final name that is listed as a projection for the Astros is a left-handed reliever who is a flamethrower. Aroldis Chapman, 2 years, $24 million.
I thought the first projection was 2 and 12.
This one's 2 years, $24
million. 24 is too much.
It's way too much.
But if you can get him for 2 and 12, I'm taking him.
You want a domestic abuser on your team.
Okay, you're going to go that route. I want a left-handed flamethrower in my bullpen that maybe with the law firm, not helping him there, but helping him in ways to improve some of his stuff.
Yeah,
that he would be a good ad for a bullpen that needs help.
Yeah, he would. The history to me kind of gets me, I'm out. He's got some bad blood. He hit Chaz McCormick intentionally, bruised my center fielder.
Chaz might still be bruised.
He probably is still bruised.
It's a no, because I'm not signing someone that when the playoffs come, he's going to make all of us cry when he walks into the game because they're going to lose.
I also don't want the off.
Take him away from the Rangers, though.
So I'm out.
Maybe that's a benefit.
Yeah, I want him to stay with the Rangers. Okay. I think it helps your case next year.
So we're out on Aroldis. I mean, two out of three.
The only
we're
one that I'm Bell, in on is Soler.
Soler. And then Crane's got to pay the luxury tax.
It's fine. Unless you can find a trade that, if you could find a trade for Montero, it would be outstanding.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
I don't think you can.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Cash or trash? What are you cashing? What are you trashing? What's your hot takes? What are your overreactions that you want to cash or trash with the Bees? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Cash or trash? Gentle Ben is the best. Cash! We all know that. I like a good drink at the end of the day. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all part of the rotation for me. And Gentleman Spirits does it all, and they do it better than anybody else. How? Well, they have a revolutionary Percedo technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you will ever taste. Purification of Gentleman is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it, including undesirable acids. No one has any time for undesirable acids. These acids take the enjoyment out of your drinks. Well, Gentle Ben gets rid of the undesirable acids so you can enjoy your drink. Try a sip of Gentle Ben vodka, gin, straight bourbon, or cast strength bourbon. Compare it to what you drink and you will never go back. I've been a Gentle Ben man ever since I had that first sip because you get all the flavor with none of the burn. Smooth, clean, eliminates that burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through it. Look for Gentle Ben at the liquor store. Look for your favorite restaurant or bar, head to the Gentle Ben Tasting Room, stop by Ben's Bar at the Toyota Center if you're going to watch a Rockets game, and head to GentleBen.com too to learn about your new favorite, and you can order the spirits straight from GentleBen.com now, which is fantastic. Gentle Ben Spirits makes the perfect holiday gift for friends, family, and your best customers. We know they'll love what's not in our spirits too. Give Gentle Ben this holiday season. It's not a party without Gentle Ben.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
All right, what are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. Blankers, leadoff man, get on base type, doesn't strike out much. What are you leading off with?
Man, I forgot the one that I had.
That's great. It's really good for our line of work.
You guys go first and I'll think of it.
All right, cash or trash this? You should sprinkle a little C.J. Stroud to win the MVP at plus 13,000. I don't think he's going to win it. I don't think he's going to win it, but you lay down $100 on CJ Stroud to win the MVP, you're looking at a 13K payout.
I'm going to cash this, and I'm going to, Because if they make a run at the playoffs and they make the playoffs, then it's going to be – he's going to get votes. And, like, there, I don't think there is a season that's happening in the NFL that's like, oh, my gosh, this guy is the MVP. Probably the best player in the NFL of the season is A.J. Brown. Yep. We know he's not going to win it.
I think the favorites right now are Lamar, Jalen Hurts, Mahomes. I think Tua kind of faded a little bit.
And, like, Mahomes, he's not putting
Mahomes
up
is not
numbers.
Putting up great stats.
No. Yeah. So no, like, he's not. That's more of a, like, we project him team, to put up good stats.
Yeah, but that's also a team thing, too, that he's so good. He's making everybody around, regardless of what his stats are. Yeah. If the team keeps winning, he'll get the credit.
It's also probably a lot of people bet Patrick Mahomes, so it's going to inflate it, or it's going to lower and deflate his value. You know who tipped me off on this was Brendan Riley. He texted me on Monday. He goes, is there any reason I shouldn't bet CJ Stroud plus 13,000?
Because here's the thing. What happens
I looked
if
at
they
my book. You went on my book.
What happens if they win this weekend?
I mean, if they somehow win
if
the
they
division.
Beat the Bengals, it's going.
If they win the division, and the division, I think it's a long shot that they win the division, but there's no way that you're getting odds at plus 13,000 for the Texans to win the division. They're probably, what, plus 400 maybe?
Yeah.
To win the AFC South? If they win the AFC South, Stroud produces, he's going to be in the mix. And plus 13,000, just unbelievable value for a guy whose numbers kind of rival the numbers of these other guys that are favorites.
I think a lot of it. Is dependent upon the fact that Mahomes' numbers aren't great this year, and there isn't anybody running away from it because they don't even have to win the division. If they just get in the playoffs based on how many people, including myself, didn't think they were going to win a handful of games, that they are going to open a lot of eyes in a hurry. And the numbers that he put up last week was like eye-opening to the nation, but it was something that we already knew. Mm-hmm. And as more and more national writers get their eyes on CJ Stroud, if he keeps performing at this level, he's going to be in the mix for sure.
That's just, the odds there are just so great.
It's worth the maybe if you don't want to go 100, go 50. Hell, go 10.
Go 10, 1300.
Like, yeah, I think it's a lower money play for me, but I think that there's legitimacy to the fact that with every passing win, he gets more people on the bandwagon.
And I don't think he's going to win.
I don't think so either.
Plus 13,000.
And I don't think that's a slap in his face to say he's not going to win. To be in the discussion as a rookie is amazing.
No, he shouldn't be in the discussion. He shouldn't be in the discussion.
But, like, if the Eagles are the number one seed, they were the number one seed last year in the NFC, mm-hmm. is that make – like, Jalen Hurts, we know he's valuable. If C.J. Stroud wins the division this year, after the Texans were the second worst team in the NFL last year – I think he's going to get votes.
And I think people are going to start paying attention to the numbers and where he stacks up with the leaders, too. Like, oh, C.J. Stroud's leading the division? Oh, C.J. Stroud's top three in passing yards? Oh, C.J. Stroud has the best touchdown-interception ratio in the NFL? Oh, maybe C.J. Stroud should get a top three MVP vote.
Yeah, it's worth a whatever you feel comfortable as a small wager.
Yeah,
it's worth
I would say it's a small wager, whatever your unit size is. All right, Joe, what are you doing?
Don't tell us what your unit size is, Joe.
I'm going to go that Bill Belichick's not going to finish the season as the New England Patriots head coach. The Boston Globe reported that there's even a chance he gets left in London this weekend if they lose to the Indianapolis Colts.
Trash it. You can't do that to the legend.
They're playing in Germany.
Germany, my bad.
Oh, whoops.
I'm just so used to overseas football being London.
What was that you said in your video about you've been known for hot takes and
bad takes? The point of
I don't think that was a bad take. That was just inaccurate information.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference. I think.
Yes, that's 100% different.
So they're going to leave him in Germany with all the schnitzel.
Yeah.
Trash it.
Could be worse than that. Look, like schnitzel.
Trash. He's done too much for that franchise, for that owner, to where he's still, regardless of if he exits or not, he's going to still exit somewhat on his terms. It's not going to be in the middle of the season. It's going to be at the end of the season where there's either a mutual parting of the ways or he just decides I'm done or he wants to coach somewhere else. But it's not happening in the middle of a season as bad as this season is.
I think they still think he has value too. I think they might try to hang on to him and then try to trade him. I think there's more legitimacy to that than firing him in Germany and leaving him there with all the schnitzel.
That's probably
I could see Magic Johnson and the new ownership at Washington making a run at him for the splash and being willing to deal with the Patriots.
And what's the hurry? Like, don't they already have Gerard Mayo lined up to be the next head coach in waiting? Why does it matter if you fire him in week 10 versus fire him at the end of the season if he's already going to be your head coach? Like, whenever you're firing a guy early, like, you're either trying to make a run that season or you're trying to let the coaching carousel know, hey, our job's open, come work for us. And I don't think that it makes sense with where New England's at and with the rumors that Mayo is going to be the next guy. All right, what you got, Blankers?
I think the first one to me is that the LA Clippers are not even a top four seed in the Western Conference. And the L.A. Clippers may be a 7 or 8 seed that has to deal with the play-in tournament at the end of the season.
I don't like their roster. I don't like their makeup.
I don't like James Harden at this point in his career.
Like, I don't love their shooters. Like, how are they going to score the basketball? Well, like, the
Paul George and Kawhi Leonard.
I think it's going to be, but are they great shooters? Like, they're mostly ISO players.
Paul George
right?
is a pretty good shooter.
He's the best of the four, but Harden's not really. I mean, Harden can shoot, but I don't think he's like a great shooter. Russell Westbrook can't hit water if he fell off a boat.
But you know what? Russ was playing. He was doing everything to extend his career. He took less money. Mm-hmm. He was playing really well for them for what he has left in the tank. And now with James Harden, it's just another step that he has to go over to try and get the ball. And I think all of them are going to suffer.
I'm going to cash this. This feels like a super, super, super true value version of those Lakers team when they had like Gary Payton, Karl Malone, like trying to pair them up to win a title with Shaq and Kobe. Problem is Clippers don't have Shaq and Kobe.
Right.
Like it's just like a true value times 10 version of that, where you just have these collection of former stars. And I still think Paul George is a good player. I still think Kawhi Leonard is a good player. I think Harden can be a good player if he wanted to. I think same thing with Russ. It's a really bad fit, and they're all way past their... I think all of them are past their prime. I don't like their roster.
I watched them play without Harden, and I thought this team could really do something because of the fact that there was still continuity, guys playing roles, defined roles for the guys coming off the bench. Now I watched them play with Harden, and I go, no matter how much time they need for continuity, there's going to be no continuity with that team.
Yeah, I'm going to cash this one as well. I think the problem is also two of your four best players don't love basketball with Kawhi and James. So I'm out.
That's a good call on that one. They don't really like basketball a whole lot. This one's from Jack. He says that like you guys have the Jordan rules, there needs to be the Tank Dell rules. Tank Dell is such a good receiver that he should no longer be taking carries from the backfield, and he shouldn't be returning kicks or punts.
I'm going to trash this because of the fact that he, whether he gets the football or not, is such a weapon you have to pay attention to with regards to him getting the ball in the running game or, you know, just by running in motion and getting the football that he has to make business decisions if he gets the football and sees linemen coming after him. But at the same time, I can't take that element out of the lineup. I'm fine if he doesn't run back punts and kicks anymore, but I cannot take him completely out of the running
game. Yeah, I'm going to trash this, too.
Trash.
I'm okay with him not returning kicks. In fact, this past week is the first time I've seen him returning kicks. It's usually punts, and usually he's sharing duties with Robert Woods. He's a game changer in the punt game. I mean, he can take one back like that. I understand where Jack's coming from, because you don't want to take Tank Dell to get hits, because he's probably one of your best. I mean, he's your best. Well, top two receiver, yeah, Nico. Yep. I'm going to trash this as well, Joe.
Yeah, definitely trash it.
Trash.
I understand the idea of wanting to protect him, but frankly, he's as much risk every time he catches the ball as he is running the ball. Uh-huh. I don't think there's any difference. Because if you took away the run play, all that would turn into is a pass play with the intention of getting Tank Dell the ball.
I think you can go out of bounds easier with a catch, with a reception.
Sure.
I think you can kind of like slide to avoid a hit better with a reception than a carry. I do think carries lead to like if the defense, more collision than a catch.
If the defense reads what you're doing with a run play with him, mm-hmm. that's a tough escape route for him to avoid not taking a big 300-pound lineman on it.
Yeah. That's the other thing, is like who's hitting you in the secondary versus at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, if you get to the edge and it's a corner or a safety, that's one thing. But if you get to the edge and it's an interior defensive lineman, he's literally in a world of hurt.
You're on a roll today. That's a great counterpoint.
But they've done a lot of, but most of the carries have been way outside.
Yeah, like, but they're not running like you can get an edge guy out there, though.
No, you're right.
You can get an edge.
If someone holds the edge and he decides to try and cut back, too.
He did a read option. Yeah, on Sunday.
That was bizarre.
He was in the wild tank.
Yeah, that
package.
Was bizarre.
And I didn't love that. He also lined up as a fullback on a 2-point conversion.
That was weird.
The tanks played
both
every position.
Both were just not
He's
necessary.
Cordell Stewart.
Their 2-point conversion short yardage from
good.
Bobby Slowick's offense is a big problem.
I think he gets too cute. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
One of Jim Bowden's offseason predictions, the Astros hired Joe Espada to be their next manager.
That's what my first
Cash
was.
Or trash.
That the Astros have no aspirations of looking outside the building and that no matter who anybody else hires, it doesn't matter because Joe Espada is going to be the next manager of the Houston Astros no matter what they said publicly.
I'm gonna trash it.
Trash.
I don't think Joe Espada is going to be the next manager of the Astros.
Really?
I don't think so.
And why is that?
I don't know. I just have a feeling. Brandon intuition.
I'm going to trash it as well.
Trash.
I hate that Bob Nightingale reported that Dana Brown is pushing for Joe Espada.
If that is, no, why do you hate that?
Because it means he has to convince Jim Crane that this is the right decision.
The reason that I hate that is because I don't want my GM running his mouth to the media. I don't like that. Now, it's different if you're behind a camera and you're doing it publicly. If you're going to the papers to try to get your man, if I'm Crane, I'm firing him.
Like
if Dana Brown is going and talking about my coaching search.
I don't think he ran to Nightingale and told him
that. I hope not. I don't think so either for the record. If he did,
oh, that's bad.
I'm calling James Click up. Hey, James, what do you want to do? You want a little reunion tour? General manager should not be going to the papers to run his mouth to say, I need to get my guy.
Well, don't call Bagwell.
Yeah. Well, because with that report came that Jim Crane wanted a big name.
See, that's where I think that's what I think the pause is.
That was Rosenthal.
That he at least wants to talk to some big names. But I think at the end of the day, he won't renege on a promise that I think he made, which is that I think he promised under the table Joe Espada, if he stuck with this team through Dusty, that he was going to be the heir apparent.
Cash or trash? All these reports are fake. They're all fake.
Trash.
They're all guessing.
They're
all thinking. They're all trying to just put news in their newsletter for the offseason.
I'm going
to
trash.
If Dana Brown is going
there.
To Nightingale and is talking openly about this carousel because he's trying to like strong arm his guy, that is a bad move.
The only thing I think that helps the Joe Espada run to be the manager of the Astros, I think the Cubs literally just put Jim Crane in a box he's not going to want to go into. Like, the Cubs paid Craig Counsell $8 million a year.
Yeah.
If that's what a big name costs, Jim Crane's not touching that.
I think if they go in-house, I think it's going to be Omar Lopez.
See, I said that. I said that early on, that I thought that he might be a better candidate and might get more run than Joe. But I firmly believe this, guys. I believe there was a handshake under the table when Espada was a hot name. And I think that Crane would like to at least talk to some big names. But I think it's a combo platter of he basically made a wink-wink deal with Joe Espada, and it doesn't make him happy to think that he'd have to pay a manager of a big name sort the $6 to $8 million a year.
I think that's plausible. I don't love the fact that it's Dana Brown is pushing for Joe Espada. Like I want to know how that came to be because I have some qualms if it's Dana Brown that's talking. 713-780-ESPN. Let's do a quarterback exercise. Where does Stroud stack up against other starting quarterbacks in the NFL to see where he truly ranks amongst the landscape of NFL quarterbacks? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, we know another big weekend coming up of college football, pro football, college basketball now is in full swing. All the sports, all the time. You love watching them, and a lot of times you like putting money down on them. And there's only one place I tell you to do that. It's mybookie.ag. I tell you that all the time because they are the most reliable. They are the most trustworthy. They have been in business a long time, and they take care of their customers all the time. And that's why I tell you to go to mybookie.ag. Use the promo code BET975 whenever you're on the site or if you're thinking about setting up an account because of the fact that you're going to cash in right now with another match bonus. Right now, if you go to mybookie.ag and set up an account and use the promo code BET975, you put up to $1,000. You put money in, they're going to double what you put in. You're going to have more money in your account instantly. And you know what I always tell you? More money in your account means more games you can bet on, more chances to win, and therefore, why wouldn't you get in right now at mybookie.ag? Put in $50, they'll put in 52. Now you got 100. Put in $100, and you know how this deal goes. They'll put an extra 100 on top of it. Now you get 200 bones in your account. More money in your account and more chances to win means more games you can play on and more sports that are going to be available on mybookie.ag. They've got in-games. They've got all the different games. They got crazy odds going on as well. There's many different ways you can cash in on top of that, but the best way is when you put money in and they double what you put in up to $1,000, that's the big winner. That's the bonus. That's why I tell you to go there. They take care of you as a customer. And by the way, when there's not games going on, live dealers standing by to do casino games like blackjack and poker, it's even another added reason why you go to mybookie.ag and use that promo code BET975. As I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's my
97.5 and 92.5.
He's Blank on Branham. We are the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. It's Joe George behind the glass. All right, C.J. Stroud, good football player, good quarterback. Just how good of a quarterback is C.J. Stroud? All right, let's go through these teams and see who C.J. Stroud is better than.
Jordan Love.
Okay, we'll get there.
I can't help myself.
We'll get there. This is right off the gate. I'm just going to go by division standing top to bottom. Is he better than Tua?
Yes.
Yeah.
It feels hot takey, doesn't it, to say
that? It kind of does, because the Dolphins still aren't a bad team, and I don't think it's Tua's fault when they lose to over 500 teams, but it does feel a little hot takey.
C.J. Stroud with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Mostert, and A.J.N., and Chase Claypool.
Lead the last guy off that.
Give me C.J. Stroud.
But still,
I'm taking
they're
Stroud.
Really talented and skilled.
I'm taking Joel Stroud over Tua.
I think if Stroud was in the position with the Dolphins,
I think he's more talented.
Better success.
I think he's more talented. Like, to win a football game tomorrow, yep. Maybe Tua. But in terms of just talent, the
big picture,
like the throws that they can make, C.J. Stroud can make throws that Tua, I don't think, is capable of making. I'll go Stroud there. Josh Allen.
Nope.
Nope.
I think Josh Allen's so overrated.
I know you do.
I think he's overrated, but he's still done enough where I can.
Yeah, I agree.
Give me Josh Allen on my fantasy football team to win a single football game. Give me C.J. Stroud.
Not
yet.
Everybody gets enamored with the numbers. Look at Josh Allen run for a lot of yards. Look at him leap a defender. Look at him throw for a bunch of yards. Cool. He also is going to turn it over three times in a critical game.
But I think that you can also look at the game where he dueled, you know, stride for stride with Mahomes.
That's one game.
But in the biggest game of the year on a massive stage with everything on the line, I would say that he's more like the Stockton and Malone or Gary Payton and Sean Kemp teams that just couldn't beat Jordan or Barkley's sons. I think that was one of those games where you're going up against one of the greats of all time. Other than that, you're going to a Super Bowl.
I think Josh Allen's a great fantasy quarterback, but y'all outvoted me. I'd love to have Josh Allen on my fantasy football team. I want nothing to do with him leading my playoff team, but I got outvoted there. So Josh Allen will have ahead of him. Zach Wilson.
No,
easy.
Easy.
Are we going to include Aaron Rodgers?
No, I don't think we need to.
He's hurt. Mac Jones, not even worth the conversation. Lamar Jackson.
This is a tough one because I still have Lamar in front because total package, like, he's still a very talented quarterback.
And he's on a good football team. He's a legit MVP candidate as well this year, but he's already won an MVP. So I think short term, I still go Lamar.
Yeah. CJ's probably 3 years away from passing. Maybe sooner than that. Maybe two.
Two more years like this one and the way it's been going so far.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a good conversation.
C.J. Stroud's a way better thrower of the football.
I agree.
Way better thrower of the football.
Lamar's a way better runner.
But I value throwing more than I value running from
that
position.
Which you should.
But I'm not going to give it to him quite yet, even though I really, really want to. Really want to. I'm not going to quite do it. All right, Kenny Pickett. We can move on quickly. Deshaun Watson.
Absolutely.
Stroud. I think it's easy.
I think it's absolutely, because I think it's a discussion you and I have had multiple times. I just don't think Deshaun ever gets back to where he was before all the stuff here.
I think he's a shell of himself. I think that Watson at his best still might not be better than Stroud at his best because of some of the things that he does negatively, misses easy plays, negative plays, things like that. All right, so
also think he makes a lot of business decisions now, and
fair enough.
We talked about that.
Cincinnati Joe Burrow.
Nope.
Easy Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I got to go Burrow. Burrow's my guy. You meant Burrow?
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence.
I'm taking him over Trevor Lawrence right now.
Mm.
I absolutely am, because I think just kind of like what you said about some of the other guys, I think there's some throws that Trevor Lawrence wows you, and there's some other throws that seem to be throws he should make that he misses that worry me. I'm skeptical about his long-term big-time success rate, and I think that CJ, like you said, with the touch passes and the things he already does, I'm going to take CJ over Trevor Lawrence.
I still lean Trevor.
Okay, I'm going CJ. Whenever they played earlier this year, and I understand that wasn't Trevor Lawrence at his best, I also think it was C.J. Stroud at his best. Trevor Lawrence puts the ball on the ground a lot. He is super careless with the ball. I remember I looked it up whenever the Texans played the Jags, and Lawrence doesn't throw like tons of interceptions, but the amount of times he puts the ball on the turf would blow your mind how often he does it.
I think the other thing, too, is that he still makes throws that he shouldn't make or when he makes there's an easy play to make and it makes it look hard.
I also think he has trouble with touch. I don't think touch is his game, whereas I think C.J. Stroud has unbelievable touch. Guess how many fumbles Trevor Lawrence has in his career. This is his third year. He's never missed a game. 17 games his rookie year, 17 games his second year. He's played 8 games so far this year. Guess how many times Trevor Lawrence has fumbled the football.
9.
He did that in his rookie year.
Ooh.
So, like,
Joe?
20?
27
Ouch.
Times.
Ouch.
He's played 42 games and
that's
has fumbled.
Excessive.
Now, he hasn't lost all these. I'm just saying he's put them on the turf. He has fumbled the ball 27 times. Like, he led the league last
year.
That's
a whole lot.
How does that happen? How do you put the ball on the turf 27
times?
You don't
take care of
it. Exactly. Like, for, like, I understand that's very, like, nitpicky and very trivial number. That matters
to
me.
Matters.
I want a quarterback to take care of the ball. I'm going C.J. Stroud over Trevor Lawrence. I think Stroud is a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence has a bigger arm. I think Lawrence is a better athlete. But the quarterback position, sorry. I'm going C.J. Stroud over Trevor Lawrence. Anthony Richardson or Gardner Minshew?
Stroud.
Okay. Will Levis or Ryan Tannehill?
Stroud.
No doubt about it. Pat Mahomes. I mean, we can go right through that. We can go right through that one. Yeah. This one might be tricky. Justin Herbert. Won the same amount of playoff games.
Yeah. I'm still going Herbert. I just think he's still an elite quarterback, I think.
I think it's a good conversation that you can have. I think the key is that where Stroud might be able to catch him someday is touch.
I think Stroud has touch on him now.
I'm saying I think Stroud catches him because of touch, because I think Herbert has a bigger arm. But
Herbert's got maybe the biggest arm in the league.
Well, besides Josh Allen.
And maybe Will Levis. I'm gonna go Stroud. I'm going Stroud. Like, Herbert in crunch time, I have concerns. And is some of that Brandon Staley? Maybe. But I don't know that yet.
I think last year's Chargers-Jags playoff game was detrimental to both quarterbacks because both of them played one half well and one half really, really, really bad. I don't see Stroud ever playing that bad, but I still need to see a little more to make sure that he, in a playoff game, is going to play that good.
So did y'all both said Herbert?
I think Herbert right
y'all
now.
Y'all outvoted me on Herbert. Okay, so y'all outvoted me on Herbert, and y'all outvoted me on
Burrow
Allen.
And Mahomes.
Allen. Now, y'all, and Allen. Y'all didn't outvote me on those. Y'all outvoted me on Allen.
Though. Oh, well, I outvoted you.
A couple more of these AFC teams real quick. Rapid fire. Jimmy Garoppolo. Duh.
Better.
Russell Wilson.
Better.
Okay. All right, let's look at
Aiden O'Connell?
Better.
Who's that?
He's 1-0.
Right, let's look at the NFC side of this. Where have we gone wrong so far? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Work moves fast. Every email, report, and proposal counts. That's where Grammarly comes in. It's your one place to think, write, and finish. Grammarly's AI agents help you find natural phrasing, fine-tune tone, and confidently write wherever you work. It's the premier writing tool that 93% of users trust to get more work done. In a world of generic AI, don't sound like everyone else. With Grammarly, you never will. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com.